कैंटो 5 टेक्स्ट चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट सेकंड। ज्वरा मर्यार्तस्य यदागतं सत निदागदग्धस्य यथा हिमाम्भ कुदेहमाना हि विदिष्टदृष्टे ब्रह्मण्वचस्ते अमृतम् औषधं मे। ज्वरा मर्यातस्य यथागदं सत निदागदग्धस्य यथा हिमाम्भः कुदेहमाना हि विदिष्टदृष्टेः ब्रह्मण्वचस्ते अमृतमौषधं मे। ज्वरा मयार्तस्य यथागदं सत निदागदग्धस्य यथा हिमाम्भः कुदेहमाना हि विदिष्टदृष्टेः ब्रह्मण्वचस्ते अमृतमौषधं मे। ज्वरा मयार्तस्य यथागदं सत निदागदग्धस्य यथा हिमाम्भः कुदेहमाना हि विदिष्टदृष्टे ब्रह्मण्वचस्ते अमृतमौषधं मे। स्मादजिस् Jwara of a fever. Amaya by the disease. Artasya of a distressed person. Yatha just as. Agadam the medicine. Sat right. Nidagdha Dagdashya of one scorched by the heat of the sun. Yatha just as. Hima ambaha very cold water. Kudeha in this body made of the matter and full of the dirty things. Such as stool and urine. Mana of pride. Ahi by the serpent. Vidashta bitten. Drushtehe of one whose vision. Brahmana of the best of the Brahmanas. Vachaha words. Te yor amrutam nectar aushadham medicine me for me. Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki translation. O best of the Brahmanas, my body is filled with the dirty things and my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride. Due to my material conceptions, I am diseased. Your nectarine instructions are the proper medicine for one suffering from such a fever, and they are cooling waters for one scorched by the heat. So, Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्तकांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण श्रीमद् भागवतम इज अमल पुराण ग्लोरीफाइंग श्रीमद् भागवतम स्पीकिंग ऑन इट रिसाइटिंग एनीवेयर एंड एवरीवेयर जस्ट प्यूरिफाइज द प्लेस पर्सन एंड ऑल हु कम इन टच विद इट सो रिमेंबरिंग दैट this text while spoken may purify me and the audience who hears this discussion. We seek all the devotees assembled here their blessings and speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we have given the topic 5.12 but we are asked to cover up from last chapter's two texts and up to 4. So I'll just read translation and purport and then we'll see our discussions. The Lord, the soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. Purport. The mind is the cause of both material bondage and liberation. The impure mind thinks, I am this body. The pure mind knows that he is not the material body. Therefore, the mind is considered to be the root of all material designation. Until the living entity is aloof from the material, from the association and contamination of this material world, the mind will be absorbed in such material things as birth, death, disease, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. In this way, the living entity is conditioned and he suffers material miseries. Text 17. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Purport. There is one easy way, weapon, with which the mind can be conquered: neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with the shoes many times just after awakening and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of all the shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Bharamite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadipaye Bhakti Lata Beej. When one receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's real life begins. If one abides by the order of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, he is freed from service to the mind. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 5th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Jad Bharat Instructs King Rahuguna. Chapter 12. Rahuguna converses with Jad Bharat. Text 1. King Rahuguna said, O most exalted personality, you are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the influence of your true self, all kinds of contradictions in the Shastras have been removed. In the dress of a friend of a Brahmana, Dvijabandhu, you are hiding your transcendental blissful position. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. From the Brahma Samhita, we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam. Rishabhdev was the direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. His son, Bharat Maharaj, who was now acting as the Brahmana, Jad Bharat, had received his body from the cause of all causes. Therefore, he is addressed as Karana Vigrahaya. Text 2. Translation. O best of the Brahmanas, my body is filled with the dirty things and my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride due to my material conceptions. I am diseased. Your nectarian instructions are the proper medicine for one suffering from such a fever, and they are cooling waters for one scorched by the heat. Purport. The conditioned soul has a body full of dirty things, bones, blood, urine, stool, and so forth. Nonetheless, the most intelligent men in this material world think they are this combination of blood, bone, urine, and stool. If this is so, why can't other intelligent men be made with these ingredients, which are so readily available? The entire world is going on under the bodily conception and creating a hellish condition unfit for any gentleman's living. The instructions given to King Rahuguna by Jad Bharat are very valuable. They are like the medicine that can save one from a snake bite. The Vedic instructions are like a nectar and cool water for one suffering from scorching heat. Text 3. Whatever doubts I have about a particular subject matter, I shall ask you about later. For the time being, these mysterious yoga instructions you have given me for self-realization appears very difficult to understand. Please repeat them in a simple way so that I can understand them. My mind is very inquisitive and I want to understand this clearly. Purport. The Vedic literature instructs, Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. An intelligent man must be very inquisitive to know the transcendental science deeply. Therefore, one must approach a guru, a spiritual master. Although Jad Bharat explained everything to Maharaj Rahuguna, it appears that his intelligence was not perfect enough to understand clearly. He therefore requested a further explanation as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.34. Tad Viddhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevya. The student must approach a spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. Pranipatena. He must also question him in order to understand his instructions. Pariprasnena. One should not only surrender to the spiritual master but also render loving service unto him. Sevaya. so that the spiritual master will be pleased with the student and explain the transcendental subject matter more clearly. A challenging spirit before the spiritual master should be avoided. If one is at all interested in learning the Vedic instructions in depth. Last text number 4, translation. O master of the yogic power, you said that fatigue resulting from the moving the body here and there is appreciated by direct perception, but actually there is no fatigue. It simply exists as a matter of the formality. But such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Because of your presentation of this statement, my mind is a little disturbed. Purport. Formal inquiries and answers about the bodily conceptions do not constitute knowledge of the absolute truth. Knowledge of the absolute truth is quite different from the formal understanding of bodily pains and pleasures. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna informs Arjuna that the pains and pleasures experienced in relation to the body are temporary. They come and go. One should not be disturbed by them, but should tolerate them and continue with spiritual realization. Here in text 16, while writing, he says, Atmalingam. The word Atmalingam refers to the soul. When the soul is covered by the mind, it identifies with itself. That instead of considering himself as a soul, the jiva starts considering himself the mind and starts acting accordingly. And that's how this gets affected by the disease, a twofold disease. The disease of the mind is raga and dvesha. The way it functions, it also has the same disease. Its function have disease. So, here, it is in the purports 16 and 70 they mention, and basically we'll speak from the purport of the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how he clarifies all the function of the mind and how to overcome it, and how to control the mind or engage it from the service of the world, from the service of the bodily demands or whims of the mind, to the in the service of the Lord directly, which will lead us to the perfection. So twofold disease of the mind is, first is attachment, raga, and other is dvesha. So because of this raga, there is greed developed. So because of this greed, sometimes the desires are fulfilled, sometimes unfulfilled. And because of that lead to another. Unfulfilled desire leads to lamentation. And when we achieve something, and if that thing is lost, then again it results in lamentation. So the cycle continues. Even if your desires are fulfilled or unfulfilled, it leads eventually in the lamentation. The second property or disease of the mind is dvesha. Because we have affection for something, and somebody else also like the same thing. So because of this thing, we start, instead of pursuing, trying to get the thing, we start hating the person or develop some enmity towards the person who also in competition with us to achieve the same thing. So that's how the dvesha works. And because we are constantly in ignorance or in illusion of the Vedic knowledge or our self, Atma, this ignorance prevails. So for one, this raga and dvesha function, would like to give one graphic example of Dhritarashtra. Because Dhritarashtra has this raga for his sons who are sinful or non-virtuous people, but still he always covers up. Because of this raga, he was not able to see their evil deeds of the Kauravas. And another hand, we see he had a dvesha for his sons of his brother, Pandavas. Why? Because although they were righteous people, virtuous people, full of all good qualities, but still, because of this raga towards his sons, And all these good qualities are undercover and he developed the hatred towards them. So this is how the mind functions, the raga and dvesha. And this starts, in one purport he mentioned that this, when one starts following the mind, the first thing he in mind that destroys is the self. Because the purpose of human life is to achieve the prema, the love for the Lord. But as soon as we start identifying or with the mind, we get caught up in the cycle of raga and dvesha, and then we forget the real purpose of human life. So although maybe all desires are fulfilled, but the actual purpose is not fulfilled. That's how the self or jiva continues to wander in the cycle of repeated birth and death. That's how it damages itself first, and then it extrapolates on others. Whoever he has developed the raga, let's say for example one person has a family and then he has many children. He has love for them, he is working very hard for them in trying to provide all facilities. Because of his love and affection, some people are not able to perform devotion service or get attracted toward the Krishna consciousness or devotional activities or bhakti because of his affection. So many people are giving up when you go for preaching. So many people give the reason, my father is coming, my mother is coming, I have to go to meet my relatives, visitors. All this raga, attachment. They have certain kind of duty. Because of this, they neglect to perform devotion service also sometimes. Although they have a time, they will be thinking about the family man instead of thinking about the Lord. So this raga is destroying the self first, and then when it is sprinkled over others or relatives, family members, or sometimes on the nation, it destroys them also. In long run, it is harmful. And eventually it leads to the bondage. And because of this, people sometimes develop, or most of time develops, false intimacy or hatred towards others because of this two-way function of the mind, raga and dvesha. So one shloka is quoted by Prabhupada in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. Bandhavaha vishayasango mukta eva nirvishayam manaha. So it means when the mind is your friend, when the mind is controlled, it can be your greatest friend. Uncontrolled, the greatest enemy. It can be a cause of your, when it is friend, means it lead you to the liberation. When it is enemy, it will lead to the bondage. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that how a person, a jiva, can know that the mind is leading to liberation or bondage. For this, he says, first the criteria of bondage and liberation is attachment to the sense object. And the criteria for the liberation, or mind is working towards the liberation, is detachment from sense objects or attachment towards the Krishna or devotional process. So when the mind acting on this path, or it completely detached from the sense objects, it leads into the towards the path of liberation. When it is attached to some other things or bodily conception or sense objects, sense gratification, it leads to the bondage of this material world. And Vishwanath Chakravarti further says, when these six qualities mentioned here, the disease of the mind is the lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed and enmity. Once the bondage is created, then all these things, although it started by the mind, but mind becomes more and more strong and becomes caught up in the bondage because of this. These are the fertile grounds of this mind to flourish. It is created by mind, but mind becomes stronger on these grounds only, just like a fire. The wood is burned by the fire within the wood. Wood is burned by the fire, but the fire is within the wood. Who started it, we don't know. The same way, the mind becomes more and more obstinate, materially caught up, strong, on the grounds of these things when they are facilitated. And these facilities or things start when the mind is attracted to the sense objects. It started by the mind, and mind becomes strong by this, nourished by this. So it is saying that when one can say that when this thing starts, we can, in the beginning only, we can control our mind or kill the mind. The saying is this, nip it at the bud. When it starts, eventually we can control our mind or just kill it. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, there are twofold reasons why we cannot kill our mind. The first thing is, this mind is the cause of liberation for the jiva. Although cause of bondage as well, but because it is cause of liberation of the jiva, that's why we should not kill this mind. Second, he says, this is very close in proximity. Just like in the family, he gives example, just like in the family sometimes there are brother's son who is not dear to us as much, but still he is the son of our brother. We cannot hate him, but the son is very obstinate. So we try to rectify him instead of trying to hating him or trying to kill him. So here in the text 17 he says, Bratravyam, just like a brother's son. The mind is like a brother's son. We cannot hate him, but we have to rectify him. Although because the son is very obstinate, but we have to work for the rectification. And then he says, who can be liberator from this world? And who is conditioned in this world? So for this he says, those who are performing devotional activities, Navada Bhakti, and because of performance of this Navada Bhakti, they have destroyed their ignorance. Ignorance means they are come into the light of the Krishna consciousness, of devotional process. They know the scriptures and they know the purpose of the material body and how to use it in this world. They know the purpose of this human form. So they destroyed their ignorance completely because of performance of devotional activities or bhakti. And then these people, he says specific word, applies mind to Krishna. In all the ways, all activities, all endeavors, they apply their mind to Krishna. That's how these people are considered to be liberated even in this world. But those people who has their mind uncontrolled and their mind continuously goes into the behind the sense gratification, and these people are not able to control and they follow the whims of the mind and eventually tries to fulfill their mind's desires, these people are considered to be conditioned state. So liberated people are like a bhakti. They are performing devotional activities, applies our mind to the Krishna consciousness, Krishna's feet, services, and they have a true knowledge of self, that I am not this mind but I am the spirit soul, a servant of Krishna. Other hand, they are conditioned by the mind. Conditioned souls are like, they are trying to fulfill the whims of the mind and fulfilling all desires, and they are wandering or continuing their samsara chakra. The next question he raises, if the mind is cause of bondage and liberation, we cannot kill him also, but he is very strong also. So how to deal with the mind? The strong mind, how we can deal gradually so that we can, from the sense gratification to the service of the Lord, this transition we, how we can make. For this, he suggests three ways. First is, just neglect the mind. Sometimes it says so many things. Neglect is the best remedy you can do. Second thing Vishwanatha Chakravarti advises is, do not notice it sometimes. Or tolerate its opinions, views, thoughts. Just tolerate it. We cannot do it because we are not able to kill it. We have to live with it. So just living it means tolerating its whims. Third suggestion he gives, don't give its desired sense enjoyment. Mind is desiring so much, but try to restrain yourself so much, engage in other activities so much that you have no scope to fulfill the desires of the mind, which is non-devotional. So this three recommendation he says, how you can deal with your mind. The next question comes, we are weak, but the mind is very strong. In this state of our weakness, how we can tolerate this strong mind or oppose his wills? He says, sense gratification, we immediately go. He says, let's go out, we go out. Let's eat, we eat. Whatever raga dosha, hate this person, we start hating, love this person, we start loving. So how all these promptions or pop-ups which are given by the mind, how we can deal with it? Because we are used to it now. So how we can start with? So he says, the strongest weapon which can use in the mind, against the mind, is performance of Navda Bhakti. So when one starts performing Navda Bhakti, engages in differently, in different times, different capacities, this way the mind's strong whims are opposed. Second, he says, we have to serve two lords. The first lord is Supreme Personality of God, at whom we are serving by the performance of devotion service and Navda Bhakti. Second lord, he says, our own spiritual master. We have to serve him and beg him for his mercy. Why this second lord or guru becomes important? Because it is said that the guru means word heavy. The all opinion which mind has is taken from this world or from the past experiences. But these opinions are lesser in quality or weight, has a weightage, than the opinion of guru. When we start following the opinion of guru, we automatically, the opinion of mind becomes less important to us. We have to give importance of words and instructions of opinion, guru's opinion, rather than our own mind's opinions. So whatever impressions mind has from this world, it is no important. But whatever guru has said, that is more important. That's how, by serving our guru, following his instruction, we can control our mind. Second. Thirdly, he says, the weapon is the mantra given by guru. We have to always on constantly take shelter of this mantra which is given by guru. That's how, using these three solutions, we can control our mind. First, taking shelter of the Lord and performance of Navda Bhakti. Second, taking shelter of a guru and his instruction, which is higher than anyone's opinion or instructions in the world. Thirdly, he says, mantra given by the guru, because it is not different from the Lord, it will always protect us. So here in this case, the story of Jad Bharat begins with he has some past experience as a king. He has some nature. He has to control, give justice, give feedback to the people, and sometimes punish them also for their wrongdoings and actions. But because of this habit, now here, as soon as he sees the Jad Bharat doing some mischief, he sarcastically remarks him. And when Jad Bharat speaks up words of wisdom, he realizes immediately his mistakes. So we'll see some stories how people committed various mistakes and then immediately tries to rectify it, and some negative also. They heard it, they were wrong. They know they were doing wrong intentionally, physically also, but they will never try to rectify. So both the contrast we'll see, negative and positive examples. So Raghuna is very positive way inclined. As soon as he heard the words of Jad Bharat, he realized that he cannot be an ordinary person. He must have been realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because this kind of wisdom, this kind of knowledge cannot be spoken by an ordinary person. Hearing this, he jumps off his palanquin and asks forgiveness, and then immediately starts questioning him. And then he comes to stage. Now in the second chapter, he says, I do not understand this. Just like Prabhupada quotes, Tad vidhi pratipadena pariprashnena sevaya. Not only this, he was doing the lip service to the Jad Bharat to please him. Now he has become, from there, rectification of his mistake, he has moved a step ahead. That now I should ask for my eternal benefit. This person seems to be right, and let me ask. And when he didn't understand, he expresses his condition that I am not so intelligent that I understand your instruction. Please instruct me in a simple way so that I can understand. You are speaking like you are in a PhD level, you are speaking, they are giving your thesis, but I am at KG level. I am not understanding your words. Please simplify it to me so that I can understand. So he expresses his inability in front of Jad Bharat, and then Jad Bharat will speak next verses onwards. He says, I will not ask all the questions which I have from my mind. He specifically says, I will ask the question which have come in my mind in the form of doubt because of hearing your words. Please clarify this doubt immediately. I don't want to ask other question which is out of context or not in conversation with us. And then he asks in the four texts. So although here King Rahugana's mistake was unintentional, but he unintentional and he's committed offense or mistake verbally. He didn't do anything physically. And then immediately he rectified his mistake and he achieved the benefit of Sadhu Sangha. Secondly, we have one example of negative example, two negative examples, like a Duryodhana. After the, when the Santi Parva was going on, Lord personally comes to make a truce between the both the parties. The Lord comes and he tries to convince him. He didn't hear the words. He knew that I am doing wrong. But he instead chastises the Lord himself. Although seeing the Virat Roop, he criticizes him. He is just like a magician. He does show some magic here and there. And then he tries to capture him. Although he knows his mistake, five times, or I can say six aggressors mentioned by the Prabhupada, he committed all kind of these aggressive activities just to kill the Pandavas or sinful papa he has committed. But still he is not ready to accept. He continuously thinking, I am the right and they should be wrong. And they should be sent to the forest and I should be the ruler. Although I have no qualification to rule. In the case of Duryodhana, he has committed intentional, physical and verbal, all kind of offenses. But still he was not ready to change. For because of this reason, he was eventually punished. All his brothers were killed. The second example is the deceitful, a Karna, a great personality who is sometimes praised by the outsiders who do not understand his true intentions and nature and activities. So just would like to make one statement before I speak about him. He is the person, before meeting him, Duryodhana, when Duryodhana met him, they learned together from Dronacharya, and when he got, Duryodhana was always fearful of the powers of Pandavas. Especially once he tried to poison the Bhima because he knew this person is very powerful, physically powerful, and he had specially enmity towards him. And he tried to give him poison. He didn't give poison to all six, five Pandavas. Especially he intended to kill Bhima. But as soon as he got the association or confidence that the Arjuna can be counted by Karna, he is the arch rival of Arjuna and Karna can kill him. He has potential. So his enmity increased manifold. And then we see in a short span of time, one after another, he tries to kill them again, either in the Varna Vrat or in gambling in the forest or different ways. Disrobing of Draupadi. All this happened because as soon as the Duryodhana got the confidence of Karna that this person can protect me and will not leave me. I can do my mischiefs. So because of this, Duryodhana's all sinful tendencies came out and he performed them continuously or uninterruptedly. So this is the character of Karna, who knew when the Lord meets him, he says, I know Duryodhana is wrong. I know the Pandavas are right. But still, I will not give up the side of the Duryodhana. Intentionally, he tries to do the wrong things towards the wrong side. He chose the wrong side. At the same time, he always made the garb that I am the religious person, I am very charitable person, I should be forgiven, people have done wrong with me, I am, because born in this family, I have sidelined by many times, I have unjustly behaved by others. So he always maintained this attitude that I have been wronged by all the whole world. But still, knowingly he was committing all the sins when he was made aware. Secondly, when the Kunti Maharani has a conversation with Karna, she says that you are elder brother, you can become king. You are elder to all. Even the Kauravas and Pandavas, they all surrender to you and this war will not happen. No killing will happen. Your friend can be there and you can become king. He refuses. He said, I cannot make truce with the Pandavas. I cannot accept them as they are my brother. So this person, an elder brother, is considered to be respectable as like a father. But this person is ready to kill his own younger brothers. Means killing, he's ready to kill his own sons. And when he was killed in a proper justifiable way in the battlefield, people tries to protect him, that he was unjust, he was hero. Actually, he was greatest villain of Mahabharata war. He was the cause of Mahabharata and cause of the power of Duryodhana. And all the wrong things Duryodhana did because of making him as a shoulder, making him as a weapon. So this is the character of the Karna. He knew he is doing wrong, but he is not ready to rectify. Eventually he was killed. Duryodhana knew he is doing wrong all the way, and he was also punished properly. But because the Lord, Supreme Personality of God, had present there when they were dying, they achieved salvation. But that may not be the case of with other people. Now, after this three wrongdoers example, first is we spoke about Dhritarashtra, how he was affected by this. He intentionally did the wrong things. Secondly, Duryodhana. Third is Karna. Now, let us see from the scripture some positive examples. Who knew, and sometimes it was intentional, unintentional, but they rectified it immediately. First is, the ninth canto speaks about the Chavan Rishi and Sukanya. The princess, always raised with the pomp, always given the best of facilities. She came out for the yajna. His father was supposed to perform yajna. And first yajna was performed. For the second yajna, his father comes to Chavan Muni's ashram. And the girl, because the nature of girl, they was together, they will do some mistakes, naughty things, or some masti. This girl goes there and she sees there were earthworm, whole of earthworm. But the strange thing is, some two objects were glowing inside it. Out of curiosity, unintentionally, she just poked the needle into it and the blood started to come out. Unintentionally, she did this act and she was horrified that what I did. And she immediately ran away from that place. And the effect of it is, the all these soldiers who were present there, they had their urine stool all constipated. They were not able to pass water stool. So all these things happen, and then immediately king realizes something might have gone wrong here in this place. Somebody has committed a very grave mistake that need to be rectified immediately. Otherwise, the situation may worsen. And he comes out, and then immediately Sukanya goes to his father, her father, and says, she speaks that I was with my friend, I did this, and the blood come out, and I am horrified now. He says, immediately king realized that this was none other than anyone, the Chavan Muni himself, to whom we came. The host is now injured. Because this is offense to a sage, he knew the gravity. For the rectification, he comes there, asks forgiveness, and he gives his daughter in marriage. Think about the condition of a girl who did something unintentionally. How much she could be punished? This is kind of punishment only. You are raised in a very great opulences. There you need not have to do anything. But as soon as Sukanya was married to Chavan Muni, so who is Chavan Muni? He is very thin body, old, fragile person. He has long matted hairs, white, and not good in looking also. Very old person. And on top of it, he has a nature which is very troublesome, very irritating in nature. So this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that although this kind of behavior repeatedly exhibited by the Chavan Muni, but still the Sukanya accepted him as his husband and served him with a great respect and care. Because of this, eventually Chavan Muni was pleased. And the story goes on this, like Ashwini Kumar has come, and then his body was renewed and he achieves his youth in favor of something. So there, in case of Sukanya, unintentional mistake was done, but she was willing to go all, perform all austerities, willing to go, ready to do all things just for protection of others and rectify his mistake. Whereas two previous examples were knowingly committed offenses but not ready to rectify it. And there is another story comes in the case of the Bhagavatam, where Brihaspati, after the curse of Durvasa Muni, Indra goes to heaven and then he was sitting in the throne and Brihaspati comes. The etiquette is, as soon as your spiritual master or guru, some elderly person comes, you should stand up in respect. That's at least minimum you can do this. And Indra, he was so engrossed in the sense gratification, seeing the dancing apsaras, he was just enamored by them and he forgot to respect him. Guru comes, he sees, Indra also sees, and he forgets to respect him, follow basic etiquette, and Brihaspati leaves the place. And within a fraction of moment this happens, and then he realizes the mistake, he comes to his senses, he stops all this orchestra and dancing of the apsaras. He runs behind the Brihaspati, but before he reaches Brihaspati, Brihaspati has made himself invisible. He was not given even a chance to ask forgiveness or rectify his mistakes. Unintentional, just breach of etiquette, but not able to ask forgiveness and rectify his mistake. Eventually he has to, because of the curse of Durvasa Muni, he has to leave the banished or kind of lose his Indra position, and then eventually later on rectified, and his guru also comes back and he asks forgiveness. So all things are settled. So best of it is a Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Gadadhar Pandit. Chaitanya Charitamrita example. It is said that the devotees quote this, the Gita is preliminary foundational study and master level study is Bhagavatam. And if you want to do PhD in Vaishnava etiquette, in devotional service, that level of thesis and studies are like Vaishnava behavior in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So for one story is from there is between the interaction between Pundarik Vidyarini and Gadadhar Pandit. As soon as the Mukunda takes Gadadhar Pandit to show him a great personality, a great devotee of the Lord, he sees Pundarik Vidyanidhi sitting with a very royal asan, with a great, very highly costly silken cloth, anointed with the hair, anointed with the oil, massaged. Two servants are serving both the sides, massaging him. He has a fragrance, he has a flower in hand. All this pomp he sees, what kind of devotee is he whom Mukunda has brought me to just introduce or me? Is he devotee? Such a materialistic person. He was just thinking in the mind. He was not physical, not verbal, nothing. He didn't say anything. But just seeing his disposition, Mukunda understand, he quotes the words, Aho Bakhyam Stanaka Alukutam. Just by hearing that shloka, Pundarik Vidyanidhi experiences the bliss of Krishna consciousness, and he goes into ecstasy and tears apart all his cloth, runs down and chants the shloka. And whom should we take? And he repeatedly shouts the name of Krishna, Krishna again and again. Seeing this transformation, now Gadadhar Pandit is shocked. What kind of personality is this? I thought he is materialistic, but he is greatest devotee of the Lord. Just by hearing one shloka, he is exhibiting such a symptoms. I should ask forgiveness and rectify my mistake. And not only he rectifies his mistake, rectification of mistake means, in many times in our dealing also, we see many devotees, many person come across, and we do sometime many verbal, physical and mental offenses. But still, we just say sorry and ask forgiveness and go. Chapter close. But here, as Gadadhar Pandit goes one step ahead, asks forgiveness, at the same time takes his shelter, so that I should not commit this kind of mental offense even in the future. So he asks him to, or requests him to please become his spiritual master, and in that way he rectifies his mistake. So this way we have seen this, all the minds working, we all the physical, verbal and mistakes committed just because of minds, this diseases, dvesha and raga. So previously we see how to control mind and other things. Dhritarashtra, Karna, Duryodhana, all the negative examples. Knowing this, because of they are affected, their mind is affected, they should rectify, they are not willing to. But still some examples we saw, Chaman Muni or Sukanya especially, Indra and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, they knew these offenses are committed just unintentionally. and sometimes mental, physical and verbal, or breach of etiquette, but still they were ready to go to great extreme to rectify their mistakes. So knowing this, how much careful we should be while dealing with the others and devotees in our devotional life. Just like Jada Bharat Maharaj rectified his mistake, asked question and perfected his life, because no story in the Bhagavatam ends in between. It always has a perfection at the end. So similarly, if we follow this kind of personalities, we'll also achieve the perfection, or we are able to control our mind by proper behavior and rectification. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.